Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingenstein.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingenstein with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. If you are new to our podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. We've had some great guests over the last several years. And this week, we're going to be interviewing Christy Peel, who is going to be talking about digital leadership. She is the founder and CEO of Media Mindfield. She's an Emmy Award-winning television and news reporter previous to her her current role. And she loves helping others as they develop in their careers. And she's got some great insights she's going to share. Looking forward to today's conversation with Christy. Could you just give us, for our listeners, a lot of them are kind of first-time leaders, maybe up-and-coming leaders, tell a little bit of your story as kind of from where you've come from and a little bit of your career history.
Sure. I'm currently the CEO and founder of Media Mindfield. We're a public relations agency based in Minneapolis and represent clients and executives, so brands and the leaders in those brands across the country and into North America. I know we're going to talk more specifically about some of the work that we do, so I won't bore you with that now. Prior to founding this company, I was a television news reporter, and I worked at five different television stations across the country in three different states, and did some work for Good Morning America and some national work before I lost my job in a mass layoff in 2008.
Okay. Well, if you could spin back time and talk to that 22-year-old Christy, what would you tell her? What advice would you give her?
She wouldn't have listened. I mean, I know what I would have told her. I also know she wouldn't have listened. It's to slow down and to enjoy every season. I was someone, especially when I was a television news reporter back then to get to a big market like Minneapolis, where I wanted my career to eventually end up, I knew that I needed to move across the country to smaller markets, and I wanted to speed that process up. And I learned so much in my travels across the country and the different people that I talked with and the different people I met and the front row seat to history that I had. But in the back of my mind, I was always thinking 5, 10, 20, 30 years ahead. And I would tell myself, slow down and enjoy it.
So I didn't give you this question in advance, but what did you learn going through the process as far as being a journalist, being somebody that reported the news? What have you carried forward as far as in your career that you think helped you as far as to get you where you are?
Two things. One is just the importance of people's stories. And when someone shares their story with you, that is a privilege. And whether, you know, people were sharing stories with me when I had a microphone in front of them, and I usually met them at their worst or best days. Rarely do you meet someone in the news business when they're just like at the grocery store, you know, buying bananas. I mean, it's usually the best or the worst. The other thing that I feel like more leaders and entrepreneurs actually should have that I'm glad that I got through my journalism career is that there are people who know more than you in every single aspect of life. And all you have to do is seek them out and they will share with you. If you approach any situation with the posture that you have the most information about it, you will miss out on an opportunity to actually learn from others and elevate everyone around you.
Yeah, that's great. Great thoughts. So you've worked with a lot of, starting out, think back to that first time that you had to lead a team. And what were some things that you wish you would have known earlier as far as in leadership?
I wish I would have known the importance and the value in first knowing me better, knowing myself better, knowing what kind of leader I wanted to be when I would show up, instead of focusing on people around me that had been my leaders or managers or Hollywood stereotypes of what a leader looks like, or my father who owned a business at a very different time in history. So I would have spent more time understanding my perspective on leadership rather than trying to model it after someone else.
So think about as far as kind of the differences. We have a lot of different generations in the workplace today. And any thoughts around how that you manage people from different generations differently?
It's hard. And anyone who says that it's easy, they are lying to you, or the generations they're managing are like AI bots or something, because it's hard. Yeah. Everyone has a different perspective and bias and stereotype and story that they bring into the workplace or the Zoom call. And as leaders, we must spend time understanding the generations to effectively lead. That means doing some research and background and understanding Gen Z, saying things like, oh, Gen Z, they're going to be the death of us, when you haven't spent any meaningful time talking with these people, is not doing anyone any value. And you're missing the opportunity to learn all that they bring into the workforce. And same on the baby boomer side, on the opposite end of the generational spectrum in the workplace right now, is, boy, certainly those folks aren't going to be the fastest with new tech. They just aren't. They're not digital natives, but boy, do they have wisdom and experience. And to put people into these buckets and decide what kind of value they do or don't have based on their age is just missing an opportunity. So my advice for folks who are leading different generations, read the book Generations by Dr. Twingy is her last name. Twingy. I think Jeanette. Anyway, we'll look it up. But she, the book Generations and her work is phenomenal. And to just understand not just how people are showing up broadly, but why, you know, what was the 9/11 moment for Gen Z? What was the Gen X, we had the 9/11 moment, but what are these other influences that people had that just influence how they view the world and how, what they expect and what they want? Until we understand what they want from us, we won't be able to decide if we do or don't want to give it to them.
So the topic around digital leadership, and maybe define that to what that means, and just what do you see? What should leaders be aware of as far as around digital leadership?
You know, it is the new frontier. I would say it is the current frontier of leadership. And yet business schools aren't yet talking about it or teaching it. And it is the competitive advantage that a leader can have when it comes to hiring, when it comes to retention, when it comes to leading through a crisis, when it comes to top line, bottom line, when it comes to investor relations, media relations, and it's all about digital leadership. And what we have to remember is that the lobby of our offices is no longer happening when someone walks through the front door. It's happening long before they get to the door, if you even still have a physical door. It's happening online. And Gen Z, millennials, they are making decisions about where they want to work based on who they're working with. So I realize, leader, if you're like, please, I'm not going to see the entry-level person maybe ever, because I'll be retired before they get to a level where I'll be in meetings with them. That's fine. You can have that perspective and choose not to engage with LinkedIn, or choose not to engage with what your Google results may be. But you are missing significant talent out there, because investors are doing it, employees are doing it, other leadership teams, board members, all these different folks are vetting and making decisions based on what they're finding out about someone online long before they make a buying decision. And there's all sorts of stats that I have and I won't bore you with, but a lot of stats around how if someone is following two executive team leaders on LinkedIn from a company, they're twice as more likely to buy from the company. I mean, there's just so much data around how digital leadership and controlling your narrative on social media can make significant impacts to a business, both good and bad. We certainly have all sorts of stories of the CEO that, you know, put a flame message out and their stock went down. But we have to think about it the inverse. When we really show up as our authentic self on social media and digitally, the benefits of that.
So thinking about the dangers of social media, that, as you mentioned, it could derail a career, it can impact a company. And I love the name of your company, Media Minefields, of navigating those minefields. But what are some of the minefields that you see that that are destroying the image or the reputation of companies or individuals?
Sure. Because we're in an election year right now, anyone who is deciding to take a position that is outside of either what their brand alignment is or something that is outside of the core values of the company, or something that has never been revealed until some, you know, tweet from now X, but those types of things are like, can be an immediate crisis. I think the most common probably mistake that, you know, people are making is that they kind of give social media as not for the brand, but for the executive, for the leader, they're sort of giving the no comment. And when someone is in a court of law and they say no comment, we all think, guilty. They're hiding something. So if someone is looking you up because they're going to consider investing in you or inviting you to sit on a board, or they're considering working at your company, or they're going to walk into a room and you're going to interview them and they can't find anything out about you, that basically is the equivalent of a no comment. And so what then do digital natives and people who are looking for information do? They go looking. And they may or may not find things that you want them to find. They may or may not find the story you want them to find. And they may tell themselves a story that you must not be as great of a leader if you're not showing up anywhere, if you have no digital footprint. So I think that no comment is probably the most common. Another pretty common mistake or something that leaders can learn from is just to make sure that everything out there about them is relevant. I mean, it's as easy as going to LinkedIn and making sure that, you know, your name and image and background and bio is all updated, that your website has not just your name and picture, but a little bit behind a background about you, because we know that people want to work with people. They want to work for people. They don't want to work for brands. People have a soul and a story that can build powerful connections. Brands don't. So leaders, if you just take control of what's out there about you and show up as an authentic person, you're those folks that are right fit employees, right fit buyers, right fit investors, they're going to gravitate towards you, and the wrong fit ones are going to be repelled, which is exactly what we want to happen. So it's just so important to take control of the digital leadership.
So if somebody says, I'm so busy in my work, I don't have time to do the digital, you know, side of things. I'm just focused on what I'm doing. What are some things that they could do that wouldn't take maybe a lot of time as far as to increase their visibility as well as kind of who they are to the public?
I tell folks that they can really make a big difference if they, and I'm going to talk specifically about LinkedIn, because for most leaders, that's stop number one. They can get other platforms going, but I'm going to focus on LinkedIn. If you 15 minutes three times a day, I'm sorry, that is too much. 15 minutes three times a week will really increase your visibility. And just to start by making sure that, as I mentioned before, your image, your bio, that's all updated. Then you have to get active so the algorithms know what to do with you. So like some posts, comment on some posts. That might be as much as you want to do until you get comfortable with the platform and make your own content. But if you love talking to entrepreneurs or you're really interested in leadership, boy, focus following some groups who are talking in that space. Follow Entrepreneurship Magazine, follow Inc., follow some of these large publications, and that will then, you'll start getting fed leaders who are out there who you could follow their content. Think about three brands that you love. Go find the CEOs of those brands and follow them, and ensure that your LinkedIn feed is valuable and impactful. And when you get comfortable, then you can start launching your own content, and you can then be perceived as that thought leader, which is what folks are expecting and what they want to see from you. What's your perspective on your industry? What's your perspective on leadership? If you read a great book, put it out there and say why you thought it was a great book. So it's not getting real fancy or complicated, but if you're going to post anything that your brand could also post or any other leader could post, you're really missing the mark, because if it is going to be authentic to you, then it should be something that only you can say. And the way that we know that people trust people they see. And when you're in someone's feed, that is a way to build trust. Digital trust is still a very valuable kind of trust.
As you look at the landscape, as far as where do you think things are headed? What are you excited about as far as opportunities mm-hmm. for new platforms or new areas that people can take advantage of?
I think the big question mark is AI. How will AI continue to impact content? I've had folks, you know, I go all over the country teaching digital leadership to CEOs. We represent a lot of leadership teams and CEOs where we do this work for them. And people often ask me about AI and if you'll be able to just, you know, put some words in a computer and have your AI generated video bot, you know, saying the words. And we're for sure headed there. Absolutely. And you could probably do that now. I think the way that we're headed is that these algorithms are going to be more sophisticated in determining what is and what isn't AI generated. Folks are getting onto a platform like LinkedIn for organic content, meaning original, unique content. And if you're talking to everyone, you're actually talking to nobody. And the AI can put out a lot of content that a whole bunch of people could say, and it would be real applicable. But yet that really means that it's not going to resonate with your target audience. So I think we're going to see in the future how AI is going to continue to evolve, and these algorithms, and also us consumers. You know, if someone is posting something, it's like, that doesn't even sound like you. Why would you say that? Anyone can say that. We're not going to give it a like, or we're not going to comment on it. And then it's not going to be rewarded. So, the word of the year by Merriam-Webster is authentic. And there's a reason. It is the differentiating factor for great content.
That's good. So as you're thinking about, maybe the next generation of leaders and just kind of looking at kind of what they're posting, thinking about that for the future, you know, they're not maybe in a position of leadership, but they're going to be moving that direction. What cautions would you give somebody that's early on in their career?
You know, I think many of us and people 10 years younger than me, 20 years younger than me, were raised by people who said, put your head down, just do the work. People will notice. And that's not bad advice. It's advice that we've given our kids, and the caveat and the asterisk that perhaps we weren't, taught, and those leaders weren't taught, younger leaders weren't taught, is that people want to know about you. And you have an obligation and a responsibility to share a bit of your story, not just for the benefit of you, because so far we've talked about how leaders can benefit from that, but also for the purpose of helping other people. When you elevate the nonprofit that you're involved with or you're passionate about because you're serving there and you put that on LinkedIn, you're helping that organization and you're really impacting the reach and the influence that message can have. And that is critically powerful right now. What I would tell a young leader to leave, digital footprints, to drop little breadcrumbs of their digital story so that over, 10 years from now, when they go into and ask for a C-level role and a new company and someone is vetting them because they absolutely will be vetted online, that there will be a whole history of there that will tell the story that aligns with whatever their resume says or whatever their AI bot is saying in that interview. But it's really important to do that work now so someone can see the progression of your career. And it can't just be all about you. Nobody wants to work with that person. Some of us know people like that. How are you helping other people? How are you celebrating your customers or the people you work with or your team? And show up as a whole person. Don't be a two-dimensional, I work, I go home, there's this like real strong line. Integrate your personal life, your hobbies into your content, make it valuable for business. People can learn from you and you can learn from others. It's kind of that simple.
Sure. So you mentioned a book, Generations, I believe.
Yes.
One. Any other books that you would recommend to leaders that you think would be helpful?
I'm a lit major and I'm currently getting my master's in leadership so I have all sorts of books, but sure. I narrowed it down and I actually have them with me. As I mentioned earlier, getting to know who you are and how you want to show up as a leader means doing some deep, at times difficult work to understand how, you know, how you got to be you. So I recommend True North by Bill George and Zach Clayton. It comes with a workbook, which like walks you through the framework. Every leader right now and going forward needs to have an understanding of how to be vulnerable and authentic. Brené Brown, Dare to Lead, top of the list there. And then a thing that I don't know that leaders are taught enough that I actually learned a little bit late in my running a business and that having, you know, people report to me and leave other jobs to put their faith in this company is the importance of saying no to things and ending things. And it's really important to know when it's time to part ways with a customer, an employee, to end some of your own patterns and habits so that you can open up some time and energy for new things. So Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud is one that I will probably listen to once a year for the rest of my life.
Great. Any quotes that you refer to or that you you tell maybe your kids or people you work with?
I've had the same favorite quote for years, and I have it in my office. I have it in my next to my workout stuff at home. It motivates me in all facets of my life. Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail by Ralph Waldo Emerson. I love Emerson, and my cat's name is Waldo because of Ralph Waldo Emerson. I just have been very motivated by the concept that it may be tempting to follow someone else's trail, but it's worth doing the hard work to pave your own trail. And then as you're paving that trail, perhaps push the grass down a little bit to make it and share, turn them around and look and see who's following you and make their path a little bit easier. It's a very motivating challenge for me to not just keep forging ahead, but also to make sure that I'm bringing folks along and sharing information as I go.
So on that idea of giving back kind of to that next generation and helping, you know, everybody can look back on people that have had influence on them, mm-hmm. but have you purposely given back as you've advanced in your career? And, you know, talk about that as far as the importance of that as part of your career of helping others.
I got to say, it is a weird thing to be old enough to have people wanting to learn from you. It took a while just to say, oh, right, I guess I am to the age of being able to mentor other folks. I have learned a few things and I've gotten some bruises and had to get back up. So there were some women, there are five of us that started the 25 at Bethel University. I graduated from there. One of my sons is there. I'm on the board of trustees there. But we saw that there were still, you know, even in this day and age, women who haven't met other female leaders and don't know what it will be like to go into perhaps a career or an industry and lead when maybe their whole life, they don't know what it's like to be a female leader because it's never been modeled for them. So we started the 25 at Bethel and hope to bring kind of that message around the country and bring it into other places and spaces. So it's a place where we can teach women. There's an executive director and they are learning their strengths and they're having mentors and they're going into, you know, trucking companies owned by women and they're just learning what it takes and they can ask questions and have relationships because again, back to the, you have to share stories to build these connections and to put them in positions where they can learn the stories. Done a lot of speaking in different universities and started one of the founders at DePaul Institutes or DePaul Universities. I'm sorry, Women in Entrepreneurship Institute. I just have a real passion for helping folks that maybe haven't seen someone like them in a leadership role or starting something. So I hope to continue to do that for the rest of my life and feel really grateful that I'm able to do that. These young women and men that I have mentored and had conversations with over time are always really thankful to me. And I'm like, no, you taught me a lot. So thank you. These mentorship roles just work so well and are so powerful.
So outside of work, what do you do to recharge?
Well, currently, because I'm getting my master's, I don't really have time for things out, but I love to golf. I love to see live music and shows. I have two sons and my husband, and we love to do things as a family. And I mentioned I read, you know, 50, 60 books a year. I read a lot. And I got to tell you, I'm one of these weird people who I travel a lot, but I love talking to strangers. If you sit down in an airplane next to me, we might be linked, well, for sure be LinkedIn connections, but we might be more than that. I've got women I follow on Instagram who I engage with, who I met in an airport, you know, 6, 7 years ago. Sure. So I love people's stories. It's part of me, it's part of who I am and will be forever.
Yeah, very good. Parting advice you'd give to a newer up and coming leader?
You know, I thought about this for a long time. I knew the question was coming and I have a podcast. I started a podcast in 2020. And it's called Flip Your Script. And it's people who have been hit down with struggle, as we all have. Nobody's path goes the way that they think it's going to go. And leaders need to know that too. It's about what you learn in the struggle. So this podcast, I interview people who have gone through some kind of struggle and how they've come on the other side and what they can share with other folks to help them. So I'm kind of taking how I end every of my episodes and flipping it a bit, because I love the concept of it. And I think it relates here. So, you know, do the things you've been avoiding, say the thing you know you need to say, move forward, grow and learn, because you're capable of more than you think.
Great advice. And definitely wish you continued success. How would somebody learn more about your company and your work and you and what you're all about?
Sure. MediaMindfield.com is the website. We're, of course, because of the work that we're in, all over the socials. You can find me on any of the social channels and feel free to DM me. It's Christy Peel, and the last name is spelled a little weird, but it's P-I-E-H-L, and love to chat and answer more questions or connect further.
Yeah, definitely encourage everybody to check out your podcast too, Flip Your Script, and definitely appreciate your time and insights today. Is, I'm sure, very helpful to those listening.
Thanks for having me. It was a joy.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.